I'm pleased to say we have back on the show our friends with My Marriage Matters, Joe and Cindy Farini. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so I like what you're doing with the even the title of what we're talking about today. Before you redo, you. I do.
Yep.
Whose idea was that?
Cindy's, of course.
I knew it. So, okay, so you're talking about second marriage here, correct?
Right. Correct, yep.
Mm-hmm. And do you encounter this pretty frequently and throughout the years working with family life?
Yeah, actually, it's quite often. It's more prevalent now than ever before. And so it's really important that we make sure that we prepare these folks that are going into remarriage properly before they say, I do, again.
And now you've Absolutely. Got some statistics for us, is that right?
Yes, I do. First of all, I want to mention that Shanti Feldhahn, in her research, you know, a number of years ago, the divorce rate was something like about 50%. But some of the research that she's recently done shows that the divorce rate is really going down. But the problem is, so is marriage. And so a lot of people aren't getting married. So the statistics don't really reflect the same thing that it did years ago. You know, marriage and remarriage mostly now is living together. And then there's not as much divorce because of that. So I think that's an interesting fact. I don't have all her statistics on what the divorce rate actually is based on even things from the past, but that's just sort of a general thought. But in family life, Ron Deal, who is in the stepfamily and remarriage part of the ministry, mm-hmm. he has put out some statistics, and I think they're really interesting. One of the things he says is that 40% of married couples with children in the United States are step couples. So that is a high percentage. He also says that a third of weddings in America today form step families. Oh. And then in terms of numbers, 113.6 million Americans have a step family relationship. And then he also goes on to say that 40% of children today are born out of wedlock, and 60% of these couples already have at least one child from a previous relationship. And we found that to be true. When we would do the engaged couples or the pre-married group of people at Family Life, when we first started off, it was probably like back in the before 2000, I would say everyone in that room, they were first-time marrieds, and nobody had any kids or anything. By the time we finished just a few years ago, I would say greater than half. I never did any analysis of it, but I would say just guessing, over half would be people living together, married before, a couple kids, or never married before, but they already have a couple of their own children. And so the whole way everything looks a lot different than it did even 20 years ago. And so I would just say, you know, most marital issues don't equal that you have to get a divorce. However, marriage takes a lot of work, and that's what we have to do. We have to work at it. But because we're talking today about a blended family or a second marriage, I think we need to address some of the things that people need to do to prepare for that.
Yeah, for sure. And Joe, you've got one key aspect, I think, of thinking through this idea before you get remarried.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to make sure that our couples are going into this marriage again with their eyes open. You know, everything you need to teach to a first-time married couple, you need to teach to a remarried couple again. Plus, you need to add the things like, you know, dealing with parenting and step-parenting and dealing with the ex-spouses and how do you do that properly and how do you go about handling those issues that were issues in your previous marriage and what's going to cause them or prevent them becoming issues again in this marriage. And so we do a really agonizing reappraisal, if you will, for everybody who we have an opportunity to talk to and making sure that we understand that although God does allow divorce between a husband and wife in certain situations, he never prescribes it, but in fact, as you know, God hates divorce. But if you are divorced and intending to be remarried, then you want to have a clear conscience that you are living under his allowance and have the freedom biblically to remarry. So that's just starting blocks. You're getting into the starting blocks at that point. But once you're there, and you need to be able to look back and ask yourself, what mistakes or what sins did you make that led to that divorce? In other words,
somebody would stop you right there, Joe. They'd go, whoa. It's their fault, not mine. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
That's true. But you know what? Every time that we've ever talked to anybody and we hear one side of the story, we say to them, if you want to have a conversation about this, we bring in the other person and we want to hear their side. And everything is on top of the table, not under it.
Wow.
Because often, and actually I have had people say to me, then I'm not going to talk to you. If you're going to talk to her, but you're not going to talk to me separately, I'm not going to say anything. And I'm like, that's fine, because I would really like for you and her to be able to talk to us together. And I think that can be, you know, then that kind of goes to counseling that we talked about a few the last times that we've been on. I think counseling is wonderful. Counseling needs to be done individually, but it also needs to be done together. I don't think you can accomplish much if it's just on your own. And I think the same holds true when you're preparing for a second marriage. You better be really conversational and inquisitive about what happened in the past.
And very introspective, might I add. I mean, even if it's not an equal share of blame, we all have to carry some level of blame when a marriage falls apart.
Sure.
Right. Absolutely. You know, we in general, we all have blind spots. And especially when it comes to remarriage, we kind of want to sweep things under the rug that had to do with me contributing to this issue. But we do need to step back and just ask some really good questions about what was the role that I play? What were the responsibilities that led to that divorce? We can list pages of issues that come up on this one. But for example, if you're somebody who had a difficult time breaking away from your parents, and you were codependent on your parents, is that a contributing factor to why you broke up your last time you got married? Or maybe did you or did you not begin your marriage with a commitment to stay married for life? And if you did, what happened from your perspective that caused that marriage to end in divorce? And this is where we want to hear both sides of the story, because if you just hear one side, clearly they're going to be pointing that it's the other person's problem that caused me to make this decision. So you need to get a full perspective on what's going on here. At that point, you know, you can begin to address some really specifics of what brought you to this point today.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that you need to understand and talk about is, do you think poor communications, for example, contributed to the failure of your first marriage? And, you know, what are some of the reasons why you believe you're not going to make those same mistakes again? And so what specific changes are you going to take at this point to make your communication style better as you consider remarriage? And, you know, that's a topic of discussion that both you and your future spouse need to be having. And, you know, a serious discussion regarding communications is absolutely critical. And it doesn't stop there, because the next thing you need to be talking about in order to minimize communication problems in your marriage is, what plans do you have for helping your children adjust to a potential new step-parent and step-brothers and sisters? And so it's there's layers to this whole discussion that we're having here. And I think we need to just keep that perspective in mind as we enter into this remarriage situation.
If you're just tuning in, we've been having a great conversation with Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. This time talking about things to consider before you redo I Do, before you get married for a second time. And we've been chatting about the need for introspection. Cindy, what things do you think people might need to consider that they have missed in past relationships that they haven't taken notice of?
Well, you know, there's so many things, and I think it's going to be different really for every single couple. But in a humorous sort of way, I would say, you know, before you get married ever and before you get married again, you know, drive with that person for one thing. See what they're like on the road. You know what I mean? Because some of those habits,
Joe.
Those
I know. Yeah. It would have been a different story at this point.
depends who's driving. But then, you know, and also things like, you know, have them work on a slow computer or sit in traffic or, you know, ask him what he thinks about his mother, if his mother is still alive. And I don't know if it was ever this opportunity or if it's even ever a good thing or not, but man, I'd want to hear something from that ex-spouse. Because, and you know, I have recently in my life come to know a step-family situation, and there's seems like it's a very good, amiable kind of situation, and I've sort of been talking to this person to find out, like, how are you making that happen? Because I think it's not always an easy thing. But on a less humorous note, I would say definitely, you know, how about your finances? Do you have continuing financial obligations? And what is this going to mean to you for your alimony, child support? How long will that last and how much will it be? That when you enter into a divorce, often those issues become huge continuing issues in court. And also, you know, a budget, you have that written out. And how is that going to look for your family? And even the possibility, and I don't really, I have definite feelings about this, but Joe and I have talked about this in terms of what would a couple do in terms of like a prenuptial agreement. Because we see often, a spouse maybe becomes pretty wealthy, and the other person kind of takes them to court. You know, takes them, and then they're losing all that they've ever gained financially. Finances, of course, aren't the only thing in a marriage, but they're certainly important. And you know, is a new marriage going to take away from anyone in the previous family to whom some of that probably is due? So those are tough questions. And then just, you know, your responsibilities in the home. You know, the housekeeping and cleaning and picking up the garbage, all that kind of thing. And certainly in Ron Deal's book, The Smart Step Family, he has so many wonderful, helpful tools in that book. But other things, too, certainly, you know, are you both Christians? You don't want to miss that most important spiritual piece. And then what about holidays, vacations, special occasions, all of these things, your in-laws and relatives? You all of a sudden multiply the number of people in your sphere for the children and for yourself. You know, you may have had four grandparents. You may have a lot more than that now. And so there's a lot that goes on with that. Maybe, Joe, did you have a couple more you wanted to add?
No, I just kind of play off of what you just said, basically. And I think one of the most underestimated influences on new marriages is your family. I think, you know, when most couples marry, they just assume that marriage is going to be between two people who just want to become one. And the reality is, in a redo marriage, is that it's two people and two families coming together to form a new merger. And it's when entering into a step family situation, the family dynamics are just greatly multiplied. And I think people just need to go into their remarriage with their eyes open and realize that the dynamics of a step family are going to play a major role in their marriage relationship. And I think one additional comment, a statistic I'll give here, that in addition to what Cindy gave, is that, you know, each day in America, 1,300 new step families are created. Currently, one out of three Americans are in a step family situation. And then soon, in the near future, it's going to be one out of two of us will have a step relationship at some point in our lifetime. And so we need to become a little bit more, you know, informed about remarriage and understand that it's all around us. And if we just go into marriage with these rose-colored glasses, and that's all we see, I think you're going to hit a problem there.
And I would also add, too, you know, when you're going into this remarriage, your background of that previous marriage is really important to this new marriage. One, did your spouse die? Because that's a whole different game, yeah, going into a remarriage. And there's many people who are in that situation. But then, you know, if you had an affair in your last marriage, like, how are you going to enter this marriage thinking that's not going to happen to you?
Right. Well, you know, we had a text here that I was hoping to squeeze in here at the very end.
Sure.
Somebody texted and she said, she says, how do you handle this in situations of abuse? And she was talking about, you know, self-analysis and introspection. She said, when I say that, what I mean is when you're coming out of a marriage that ended due to abuse, How do you approach remarriage? Are there things I should look for at in myself to avoid repeating, or the situation? Because I often see people remarrying into the exact same situation.
Absolutely. I think there's a propensity to that just by our own personalities and the characteristics that we have in ourselves. I would highly recommend to anyone, whether or not this applies to you or not, I think Leslie Vernick, in her book, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, has, toward the end of the book, a great lesson on how to build your core. And what she does is just tells you, really, how to build yourself up. And this is not in a puffy way of like, I'm so right and I'm wonderful. Not like that. How to allow yourself to be who God wants you to be, to not allow that to happen again. And it's, we could maybe do that particular teaching, you know, from her, like on another program that we do. But for now, that would be a great book to get. Leslie Vernick, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage. She also has a book, The Emotionally Destructive Relationship, which is also good. But the marriage one, I think, in this particular case, has what I would be looking for this texter.
Yeah, and Brian, I tell you what, I applaud that person who texted in with that question.
Yeah.
Because she's asking the right questions, or he are asking the right questions. And again, it's just a matter of making sure that, you know, you are fully armed, so to speak, with a full understanding about who this person is that you're going to be engaged with and you know, and possibly married to. Because history repeats itself. History will repeat itself if you allow yourself to continue to be abused. And you don't want that to happen, obviously.
Yeah, we have a family friend who has experienced a couple of marriages and relationships. And this person finally said, listen, I have to do some serious counseling work because I somehow keep ending up abused.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're doing that, you know, they don't think they deserve it by any means, but they just keep finding the cycle repeating. So,
sure. And often what we find with those situations is there's a certain need in their life that they're looking to fulfill. And perhaps that other person seems to be the one that will be able to fulfill it with their strengths, with their can-do attitude kind of thing. But then that becomes sort of twisted as time goes on.
Yeah.
And so those are the things. Certainly, we have seen this. We can identify it. But we're not counselors. And I would say, go get counseling. Figure out what you need so that you can be the strong person in your own life and in your marriage. And that doesn't mean, when we say strength, doesn't mean pushover or bullying. That's not the same thing. Strength is, you know, like strength in the Lord, be strong and courageous.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Great. Well, again, we've been having a wonderful discussion as usual with Joe and Cindy Farini and their My Marriage Matters ministry. If folks want to learn more and get connected, how do they do it?
Well, we would love to have them come to the Facebook page, which is My Marriage Matters. And we're going to be soon having a little outreach in June. We'll put that up on our page on My Marriage Matters also. It'll just be a one-hour enjoyable evening on marriage, but just 1 hour, a beautiful dinner, and that might be something people are interested in. And also they can come to our website, joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com.
Well, thanks, you two. Look forward to having you back.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take care.